sure hope that journey ends well. How many of you have ever had a great journey? How many of you have ever had a journey that didn't end as well as you had hoped it would? Let not this journey be like that journey. Because in life, we take lots of journeys. And we have the benefit of knowing that if this journey is a great journey or if this journey is a lousy journey, we're going to get another journey. We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to do something else. Even if we get it wrong, we're going to have a chance to make it right. In life, we get only one shot. Now, we can make corrections, but we get only one shot at this thing we call life. And it's very important that we end well. Now, how many of you started well? So it's more important that you end well. Thank God. Some of us came to Jesus at an early age. I had the great fortune of being raised by godly parents. My father was a pastor. My mother was a Sunday school teacher and also the primary disciplinarian in our home. You want to see the bruises and the scars? Yeah. I was raised old school. Thank God for parents that loved me enough to tell me the truth. And I wonder about, and I'm concerned for, and I have great love and passion for people who didn't start right, to connect them with the right road before they finish this journey, because we only get one shot. For some people, it's a long journey. For some people, it's a short journey. For everybody, it's one journey. We only get one shot at this thing called life. And one day, life is going to come to an end. One day, we're going to lay this old body down. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty glad about it. Because my body has gotten me in more trouble than any human alive. Everything that has ever come against me, every problem I've ever had, there's one unique characteristic of all of them. I was present at every crime. Yeah. And I got a feeling that you're a lot like me. I was introduced to Jesus at an early age. And some are blessed that way, and some are not. But here's the thing. Jesus told a parable one time about people that were brought in to labor the fields. And some labored all day long, their whole life they labored for Jesus. And some came at the twilight hour, and they all were rewarded the same thing. So whether you have served Jesus for a lifetime or a short time, this one thing is important, that you finish well. Now, I have to ask this question because I know some of you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Some of you think, well, if I only have to finish well, it doesn't matter when I start, just so that I'll live my life the way I want to, do everything I want to do, and I'll get saved 3 days before I die. What's the problem with that? Well, the greatest problem, if I ask you to pull out your driver's license, you could tell me what day you were born. And some of you would probably need to pull out your driver's license to know for sure. But there's one thing that your driver's license doesn't forecast: what day the journey will come to an end. And there's no defined day that will occur on. How many of you know somebody, maybe even love somebody, who ended their journey of life while they were younger than you are today? There was just yesterday a country singer, I think she might be famous, I don't know, because I'm not that familiar with most country singers, but she died at 40 years of age. 40 years old. And she completed her journey. Now, from the newscast, she finished well. She closed her life out well. She was ready to meet her God. Only she and God know for sure. But I look at some of you, and I know it's possible to live past 40. I wish I could say that that's only because I looked at some of you. But I'm pretty sure it is possible to live past 40. We don't know what day we're going to end this journey. There are people who unfortunately ended in their teens, ended in their 20s, ended in their 30s, ended in their 40s, ended in their 50s. And there's some people that get to live 90, 100 years. Not everybody. And so you don't know what day your journey's going to come to a conclusion. Therefore, I would think that it is wisdom to make sure you finish well by making sure you're ready with your God today. Whatever. And you know, there's another important element here, because I think a lot of people are like me in that they're not totally selfish. They like to help others along the way. Why would you waste every day on your own selfish intent and not have the opportunity to help somebody else finish well too? There are people that you love who are not ready to walk the last day of their journey. They haven't yet made the right decision concerning eternity. And how can you help them make the right decision when you yourself have yet to make the right decision? How can you help them make the right decision even if you have made the right decision, but you have no interest in helping anybody else? You don't tell. We live in a politically correct age where you're not supposed to talk about politics or about Christianity. That's what we're told in this politically correct age. I'm not politically correct. I'll talk to people about their souls. We need to talk to people about their souls. We must talk to people about their souls. Turn with me in your Bibles. This is my Bible. To 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read verse 1, and then I want to skip down just a little bit. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to Christians, to people who have already made the right choice concerning eternity. And he says in verse 1, "For we know that our earthly house, this tent, if it is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We're going to put on a new body. And that new body will not have warts or freckles or spare tires. Because in heaven there are no flats, so we won't need a spare. Let's drop down to verse 5. "Now he who prepared us for this very thing is God." What very thing? For taking on our heavenly body. For ending our life on earth and beginning our life in eternity. Do you believe the Bible? The whole Bible? Do you believe that there once was a creature, an archangel named Lucifer? And he was kicked out of heaven onto earth. I understand why God didn't want him in heaven. My challenge comes in figuring out why God wanted him on earth. I'm on earth. Why does he have... Send him to Pluto. Why earth? Send him to the sun. Prepare him for hell. Why earth? Then... One day, I got to thinking, he deceived a third of all of the heavenly host. All the angels of heaven. He persuaded a third of them to follow him to hell instead of living forever with God in heaven. Wow. One time, they made one decision. They got it wrong. A third of them. Now, thank God two-thirds of them got it right. But a third of them, one choice, one opportunity, one decision, they got it wrong. How many of you are glad you were born on earth and not in heaven? Because you already got your first decision wrong. And your second and your third. But there is forgiveness, for we've got a lifetime to finish well. And it's not, we are not judged on how we start our life, but rather by how we finish our life. So God, who prepared us to give us this thing, gave us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always confident, knowing this, that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body, that we may be present with the Lord. Someday, you will come to an end of this journey we called life. And people will be sad and people will be crying and the news will get out that you have died. What a rotten lie. Amen. You're not going to die. You were created to live eternally. And you will live eternally. Yes. Either with God in his heaven. Yes. Or with Lucifer in his hell. Amen. You will exist. Let me put it that way. Exist forevermore. But one day you're going to make a move. One day you're going to leave Florida. Now, you have journeyed before. How many of you have journeyed outside of the state of Florida? Let me put it this way. This is so fun. How many of you have began your journey in Florida? I don't think anybody's born in Florida. If they are, they must end up in Michigan. You don't have to begin well, but you do need to finish well. Amen. We were born to live forever, and we will live forever. We won't live in this body forever. One day, this body will lay down, and we will inherit our eternal body. And we will forever live with Jesus, forever and ever and ever. Those that you know who have already completed their journey and finished well, they are right now partying down. They're having the time of their life. They're with King Jesus. What a joyous day that will be, the day that I go home and spend my forevers with Jesus. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful life to live forever with Jesus. And that is available to all of us who complete our journey well, who finish well, who live our lives for the pleasure of our King. Matthew 16 says this. It says, "What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So many of us get so caught up in and entangled in the cares of this world, of this life. We fight for what we think is ours. We wrestle and contend with things that try to get in our way. And it's all about this world, this life so often. And so many of us are neglectful of eternity. We give so little thought and importance and priority to eternity when we should be all about eternity. Because eternity is our lives when we're going to live in our spiritual body on His heavenly shore, on streets of gold and in mansions forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That should be at the forefront of our mind and our thought life. We should be building a place or building a lifestyle that will perpetuate us to that place that He is building for us. When I get to heaven, I don't want to slip in by the skin of my teeth. I don't want the angels there having to look and see if my name is in the book and if I'm qualified to come in. For they're watching. And I want them to know by my love for Jesus and my commitment to God that I am very welcome in and my name is written in His book. I want the angel standing guard of heaven's beautiful pearly gate to salute and say, "Welcome home, man of God." What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Why would we contend with and argue with and scratch and fight for the things of this world with such passion and care so little about the things of that world. When this world is for a little while. Now, compared to eternity, our life is a little while. Whether we live to be 26 or 116, our life is a little while compared to eternity. Why would we place such importance on the things of this life and such little importance on the things of eternity? Why wouldn't we sow ourselves this life toward eternity? Do you understand the phrase delayed gratification? Not many people do these days. Delayed gratification. We want instant gratification. We have in our pantry instant oats, instant potatoes. We have in our refrigerators eggs that have never met a chicken. They were hatched in a box. We have become so instantized and we want immediate rewards. And we do have respect for people who will sow themselves for delayed gratification, but we don't have so much of an interest of doing what they did. Otherwise, everybody would be a doctor. They go through college, and then they go through medical school, and then they go through internship. And do you know why they do it? You may think they do it for the love of people. No, they do it because they don't want to live where you live. They're not interested in trading you paychecks. But it's fair because you weren't interested in paying their preparation. Because they studied for years and years and years to be qualified to make the kind of income that they make. We understand that when it comes to doctors, don't we? We understand that when it comes to people who are willing to pay a price to live a better lifestyle. Why is it so hard to grasp when we're talking about eternity? I'm not talking about college and I'm not talking about internship. I'm talking about doing what's right, making right decisions, and they may not always feel right. Have you ever been at a place where you made a decision that God said was right and you argued? You thought that God needed to be educated? You thought He needed to hear this from your perspective? And if your perspective was always right, you wouldn't have so many problems. Doing what's right doesn't always feel the most fun. It doesn't always bring the most pleasure. It's called delayed gratification. It's called sowing in the now for a harvest that will come in eternity. We're going to live for 70, 80, 90 years. And some of you have already lived several of those 70, 80, 90 years. Some of you have already lived 60 or 70 of those 70 or 80, 90 years. We're going to live for a short time. Why not make it a purpose to finish well? Now, some of you who are in your teens or in your 20s may be thinking that you've got a long time to finish well. Does anybody believe there is even a remote chance that Jesus may return soon? The day that he returns, the rules all change. The day that he returns, whether you're in your teens or in your 20s or in your 30s or 50s or 60s or 110s, that's the last day of your journey on earth. The day that he returns. The day that he returns, you know who he's returning for? And why is he returning for us? To welcome us into his heaven. And that will be the final day of our journey on this life. And that will be the day that Paul was dreaming of when he was writing this. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we long for that day, and we actually prefer that day over this day. This day is okay, but what a glorious day that day will be. The day that I am present with the Lord. Now, if he is long-suffering, and how many of you believe that he is? He has suffered with you long. If he extends our time on earth, what do you think his purpose for doing so is? I think you're exactly right. To win the lost to Jesus. To help other people make the right decision concerning eternity. In our country, Christianity is the predominant religion, if we'll call it religion. I don't think Christianity is a religion. It is to a lot of people. It's a relationship with Jesus to me. There's nothing religious about that. But let's use that word for a moment. In many, many other countries, Christianity is little thought of. And they have other things that drive them. In Islamic countries, in confused countries, in Hindu countries. The Hindu population, they have 31 million gods. By the time they have learned the name of all of their gods, they've met several of them. You can't possibly know 31 million gods. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And it's so important that we tell people that we share that with people, not as a hammer, but as a love branch, as a beacon of light. He is your way to heaven. Whether you live in the most posh place on earth, or whether it is an average place on earth, or whether it is a horrible place on earth, it's not to be compared with heaven. One day we're going to move from this life to eternity. And there is nothing on this earth that can possibly ever compare with the splendor and the beauty of heaven. Nor is there anything on this earth that can possibly compare with the horrors and the devastation of hell. You've never lived a day where things were anywhere near as bad as hell. And you've never lived a day when anything was possibly comparable with the joys of heaven. Can you imagine the splendor of heaven? I can talk about things that we all get and we all understand. I can talk about the streets of gold. I can talk about the mansions made of jasper and other precious stones. I want to talk about one thing. The presence of God permeates the atmosphere of heaven. Can you imagine that? How many of you have ever been in a wonderful worship service where it was so beautiful, so magnificent that it felt like that you were enraptured into the presence of God? Momentarily, it wasn't the rapture, but it was kind of sort of a sneak preview. So you weren't sure if you went to heaven or if heaven came to you, but somewhere the twain did meet. And you felt the presence of God, and it was so refreshing and so wonderful, so magnificent. There aren't really adjectives to describe how good it was. Imagine that 1,000 times magnified every time you draw a breath. A friend of mine went to heaven. And he said when he breathed in, he breathed in the very essence of God. He could feel within his being the very essence of who God is. It was so wonderful. His whole body, it was like so magnificent that he couldn't even explain it, couldn't describe it. There are no words to tell how good it was. Every time you inhale the presence of who God is. The essence of who God is. I know that Bill Clinton never inhaled. But when you get to heaven, you will. And for the first couple of years, until we get used to the fact that it's going to happen next time too, we'll probably hold it as long as we can. All of us will look like a bunch of potheads. And then you'll finally realize that when you exhale, in heaven you get to inhale again. And there will never be a final breath, and you'll never exhaust the presence of God. And it's permeated. It becomes new every morning. It permeates the air. It fills the atmosphere. It becomes a part of He, who He is, becomes a vibrant part of who you are. How cool is that? It's a whole lot better than inhaling sulfur and smoke. And the choice is yours, but the choice is not unlimited. There are only two choices. You get to live this life the way you choose, knowing about the principles of seed time and harvest. One day harvest will come. And you will reap what you have sowed. Now, a lot of times when we hear that in a church service, they're talking about offerings. But I'm not talking about offerings, I'm talking about eternity. What you sow now, you will reap eternally. And may I encourage you to sow well. Sow seeds that you want to bear fruit. And may I remind you that in the past, and I'm not talking about 30 years ago, I'm talking about yesterday, there is a great possibility that you sowed some things that you don't want to eat that apple. Can I encourage you to live for eternities? To live with eternal values, to sow for eternal harvest, to live your life for the pleasure of your King, knowing that He gave His life so that you could live eternally with Him. Eternity can be either the best thing you ever possibly imagine. You can't even imagine how good it is, because no eye has seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it even entered into the imagination of man. And some of us have good imaginations, don't we? Any man, neither has it entered into the imagination of man, even Walt Disney, who had some more imagination. It has not entered into the imagination of man how good heaven is. It's that good. And you know what? If the requirement to give to get to heaven were that we had to give up everything on earth, and we had to live impoverished and hurtful, harmful lifestyles on earth, it would be worth it. Do you think it would be worth it? But that's not the requirement. The requirement is enjoy my best now and for all eternity. That's the offering of God. Enjoy His best now and for all eternity. What a wonderful God. But you have to do it His way. You can't make up your own rules along the way. You're not God. I've got two profound revelations for you. One, there is a God. Two, you're not Him. There is a God. And one day, you will come to an end of this journey. And those of us that love you will shed a tear. And we'll be so ticked at you for leaving without us. But we're not going to say goodbye. We're going to say, I'll see you soon. Amen. Because one day we will also end this journey. And we will enter into our eternal reward. And on that day, we'll stand before a righteous King. A King who loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die in our place. But on that day, He's not going to be standing before us as wonderful Savior. He's going to be standing before us as righteous Judge. Amen. Who cannot lie. Now say that out loud with me. Cannot lie. I didn't say does not lie. I said cannot lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. How many of you want to hear Him say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant? Do you want to hear Him say that? Can I remind you of what we just repeated? He cannot lie. Amen. Some of you are counting on the daddy element. Because He's my daddy, He's going to forgive me for everything and let me come in and say, well done, wink, wink. He's a righteous judge who cannot lie. And if it truly is your objective to one day hear Him say, well done, it behooves you to do well. Because He cannot lie. He cannot lie. So the whole direction of our service this morning is to encourage you And I am not politically correct, but I try to be nice. So I won't say, if you don't sow seeds for eternity, and if you don't finish well, your picture should be in the dictionary right next to stupid. So I won't say that. But because I do try to be nice once in a while. But let me encourage you to do well, to finish well, so that one day you can hear both your Father, who is the righteous judge, smile at you and say, "Well done. Good boy. Good girl. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in and receive your reward." That's what I long to hear him say. And you know what else I also want? I also want to hear him say the same thing to many others and wink at me, because he knows I had a part in their journey. Yes. 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 Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, I know that some of you came in this morning having already made the right choice concerning eternity. And I want to congratulate you on a choice well made. And encourage you along the journey to keep it up. To keep doing well. Because it's not enough to start well. We need to finish well. We need to finish strong. We need to give the remainder of our lives for the kingdom of God. And live our lives for the pleasure of our King. We must do that to achieve his goal for us and to walk in the ways that he has ordained for our lives. And I want to encourage you to be strong in faith, strong in the might of the Lord, to walk every day in a way that is well-pleasing unto God, your Creator. I want to encourage you. I came this morning to introduce a beautiful way of life, of eternal life, to somebody who has not yet made the right choice concerning heaven. And I want to open it up with a couple of different altar calls, if we can do that. First, if you're not born again, it is not well with your soul. You look at your life and you know that you're not walking with God, and you want to. You want to. You want to inhale the presence of God for all eternity instead of sulfur and smoke. It's not a rocket scientist kind of decision. Any dingling should understand the consequences that we speak of. But you have decided that you want to make it right. I want to talk also to those who have made the right choice concerning eternity long ago. But you know that you have drifted. You've drifted far from the heart of God. You've drifted far from right fellowship with God. You become consumed by the cares of this world instead of walking with God. And you want to renew your relationship with God. You want to say, you know what, I started right, but I'm not necessarily in the right place today. And I want to right the wrongs. I want to give Jesus not only my heart, but my whole life. He is the Savior of my soul, and I'm so glad that he is, but I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want him to say to me, do this or do that, knowing that my immediate response is, yes, Lord, I will obey. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. I will be who you want me to be. I will live my life for the pleasure of my King. So if you're not currently walking in relationship with Jesus as you know that you need to be, I want you to come up this morning. And if you feel like that you need to be tuned right, you need a right tuning with God, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, you want to renew the vows that you made to Him long ago, you want a refresher course in eternity and a new start. You're not necessarily born again and again, but you want to make certain that all is right with God. And you know that some things haven't been right, but you want to make them right. This morning's for you too. So I would ask that everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, you haven't made that commitment unto Him, would you lift your hands high enough in the air that I can see them if you would say this morning, Brother David, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. This is the day that I will surrender to Him and give Him my life, all of me, all of who I am. Thank you for those hands. Somebody else? That's me, preacher. That's me. And I have maybe lived long. I maybe haven't lived long. But I want to give the rest of my life, whether it's a long time or a short time, I want to give the rest of my life to Jesus. Somebody else, just before we switch gears. If you're here this morning and you would say, Brother David, God spoke to me this morning. I'm glad you were here, but I didn't pay as much attention to you as I did to God. And He was dealing with me about some things in my life, some wrong turns that I've made. And He has prompted in my heart a desire to make those things right, to make a U-turn and completely change directions. And I choose this morning to recommit my life to Him. I see that hand. Is there others? Thank you for those hands. Somebody else. I choose today to finish well. I'm not satisfied with the route that I have been taken. I want to take the path that He has chosen for me. He has ordered the steps of the righteous, and I want to walk in the steps that He's ordered. Somebody else? Thank you for those hands. Thank you, Pastor John. Isn't it wonderful to have a pastor with a prophetic unction and a prophetic anointing? He said the Lord has dealt with his heart about people who are doing right things because religion tells you to, such as Martha did. But we really need to worship God for who He is, to fall in love with Jesus, and to obey Him, because that's what flows out of our hearts. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't, you're not saying you've backslidden, because you continue to make right choices in the framework that you're dealing in, but you would, in listening, you would have to agree, and somebody certainly would, that it's more out of religion than it is out of relationship. It's more out of a sense of obligation than it is out of a response to a loving Savior. And you're willing to fall on your face before God this morning and say, Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. You died for me. How can I do anything but live for you? I want to live with you all of my days and all of my ways I give unto you. For you are my King, you are my Lord, you are my all in all. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about me doing what an organization has said that I have to do. It's not about me operating out of religious principle. It's about me operating out of a loving relationship with you. I surrender my life to you. I give myself to you. Is that the heart's cry of anybody this morning? Thank you for those hands. If you've raised your hand for any one of our three altar calls, either you're not born again and you choose to be, or your relationship with Jesus has grown cold and you want to fire it up again, or because you've been obeying God out of duty instead of out of love, and you want to rekindle the heart flame of love for Him, would you meet me at an altar of prayer? Come now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We magnify your name. We glorify you. We worship you for who you are. Father, it's not about religious obligation. It's about a desire to obey you and to live with you and to serve you and to walk in your ways in the steps that you have ordered for us. We give our hearts, our lives, our entire beings unto you. You are wonderful. You are glorious. You are marvelous beyond description. You are amazing. We thank you for the opportunity to walk in your love, to walk in your ways. We thank you, Father, that you have given your Spirit to help us live every day for the pleasure of our King. We worship you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for these, your sons and daughters. For those who have yet to come into relationship with you, I ask you to embrace them with the love of God, with the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, to wash away their sins, to write their names in your Lamb's Book of God. Father, to receive them into your family as your sons, as your daughters, as your children. I thank you, Father, that the Bible says that whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved. And Father, they come to you confessing their belief in you. And we thank you, Father, for saving them in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to stir up the passion of love, the power of grace, your Spirit working in us and through us, that which we are unable to do. So many of us have sought to serve you. We wanted to serve you, but we became entangled with the cares of this world, with the pressures of this life, and we found that we were not able to successfully walk every day as you would have us walk. And Father, we call upon your grace to empower us to do what was impossible for us. It's not that we were bad and chose not to do everything according to your will. It's that we were physically unable to serve you as you deserve to be served. Father, grace is your power working in us to do what we couldn't do all by ourselves. And we need your power, your Spirit working in us to love you the way you deserve to be loved and the way you desire to be loved. We need your grace working in us to love other people, some of those rascals that Pastor talked about early, to love them the way that you love them. You are an extraordinary God that loves us despite of our reaction to you. Give us your love for other people the way that you love other people. Father, help us to be witnesses for you. Help us to reach our neighborhoods for Jesus. we must acknowledge that North Fort Myers is not walking in the ways of God. They're not answering you well. And Father, we ask you to empower us that we might be a light in this city of darkness and that we might share the love of God with people who don't know your love. Help us, Father, to share your power and your love everywhere we go. Now, Father, I pray for these, your sons and your daughters, and I ask you to empower them to far surpass their greatest expectation, to do more than they thought they could do because of your grace. I ask you in the name of Jesus to give them opportunities to be witnesses of your love and of your power, and to give them boldness that they may take those opportunities to be your extended hand and share the heart of God with the people of North Fort Myers. Father, boldly display who you are through these, your children. And Father, if they need a touch from your healing hand, heal them today in Jesus' name. I break the power of every disease, of every sickness, of every infirmity, of every accident. I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to go from them in the name of Jesus. Father, fill their bodies with your healing anointing. Fill their bodies with miraculous evidence that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their lives. Make them strong. Father, empower them to finish well. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.